Let us pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You and ask that You would speak to us now in the truth of Your Word and the power of Your Holy Spirit, that You would refresh our hearts and minds and feed us unto an everlasting life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9, we'll begin reading at verse 8. Exodus chapter 9 at verse 8. Hear now the word of our God from Exodus chapter 9 at verse 8, the sixth plague. So the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Take for yourselves handfuls of ashes from a furnace, and let Moses scatter it toward the heavens in the sight of Pharaoh, and it will become fine dust in all the land of Egypt, and it will cause boils that break out in sores on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt." Then they took ashes from the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses scattered them toward heaven, and they caused boils that break out in sores on man and beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils were on the magicians and on all the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had spoken to Moses. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we have the privilege of looking at a passage that reminds us of the life-saving difference there is between those who are in Christ and those who are not in Christ. Last time we saw that the Lord essentially had decked Pharaoh for not letting his people go to worship him. And now we see an interesting shift in this plague to the Lord then showing the whole world the immense difference there is between those who are the Lord's people and those who are not. And with our New Testament glasses on, the language we would use is those who are in Christ and those who are not in Christ. Looking at our passage, the Lord tells Moses and Aaron to take handfuls of ashes from a furnace and let Moses scatter those ashes toward the sky in the sight of Pharaoh. It's important that Pharaoh sees Moses do this so that there can be no doubt in the mind of Pharaoh that and his entourage that this plague is from the Lord. This ash, says the Lord, will become fine dust in all the land of Egypt and upon any human being and animal. The spot where that dust touches will turn into a boil. This plague, like the others, is a direct attack upon Pharaoh, but also upon the Egyptian pantheon of gods. And this plague seems to be against the goddess Isis. Now we hear that word and we go, that has a very different meaning in our day and age. But this goddess Isis was the goddess of medicine, health, healing, and peace. Sort of the opposite of when we think of Isis today. But anyway, that was what she represented. She was one of the top tier of gods or goddesses in the Egyptian pantheon at this time. So now we are getting some of the lesser gods before. Now we're in the upper echelon. These are the most powerful Egyptian gods. And it makes sense because we are now over halfway through the 10 plagues. And we are now getting where the Lord is now taking out what are deemed in the Egyptian mind to be their most powerful gods or goddesses. Now, Isis, as we learn in this plague, and as the whole world was, it was made known to them, Isis has no power to prevent the Egyptians from getting painful boils all over their bodies, all the way from the peasants to the royal elite. But the Israelites are safe. Only Egyptians get this plague. God's people were completely unharmed from this plague, which really is supernatural when you think about it. That the fact that this disease was spread by the dust in the air. How is it possible that the Israelites would not have been affected by the same particles floating in the air, but the Egyptians were, who lived all around them? We do not know exactly what disease this was that the Lord afflicted the Egyptians with. There may have been a number, there's been a number of guesses. It may have even just been a supernatural phenomenon rather than a traditional disease as we know them. But the symbolism here is really important for us to get, as well in connection with the goddess Isis, who was supposed to be, as I said, the protector of life. She's supposed to be the goddess of healing, right, and peace. But instead, she is shown to be powerless to give life, to protect life, to give health or peace. And this is shown very clearly in the symbolism of Moses throwing ashes into the sky. Ashes were symbolic of death. Even in the Middle Ages, this is the case. You all know the nursery rhyme, Ring Around the Rosie, right? Pocket full of posy. Ashes, ashes, we all fall down. Why is it that nursery rhymes are always about death? That is something, because that's exactly what that song is about. The roses and the posies, they were there to take away the stench of the burning bodies during the Black Plague. And then ashes, ashes. Well, it's the ashes of the dead bodies being burned, and we all fall down as we all die. Well, in ancient times, ashes had a very similar meaning to that. When someone was described as being brought down to dust and ashes, it was language that was describing going down to death. When someone was in intense mourning, like Mordecai in the book of Esther, they would sit or cover themselves in ashes as a display that they were so heartbroken, they were mourning so intensely, they were mourning to the grave. And so what the Lord is communicating to the entire world in this plague is that if you oppose the Lord, if you are not one of His people, you are nothing more than the walking dead. You are dead, and you are unclean. The Lord in this plague is painfully just simply showing the Egyptians what they really are because they are not in Him. They don't believe in Him. They are dead and they are unclean. And it isn't That is exactly what the entire message of the Bible tells us, isn't it? That those who are outside of Christ are dead and unclean. It's precisely what Paul's Paul points out, for instance, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. And what Paul is telling us in those three verses is the necessity of the grace of God to intervene in our lives and draw us out of death and out of uncleanness because of our sins and cause us to be alive in Christ and clean, washed in His presence. Imagine with me the severity of this plague. Help us get more of a grasp of what the Lord is communicating to not just the Egyptians, but to the Israelites as well and to the whole world. You are covered from head to toe in painful boils. Some amount about the size of a quarter, where your skin is literally bursting forth with pus and ooze and constantly being itchy. We all know what mosquito bites feel like. This is on a whole nother scale. Itchy, open skin that's oozing pus. That is painful. It is gross, and it makes all of life miserable. If you have one boil, you can at least sit down or lay down in a position where you could avoid putting pressure on that, right? But if your body is covered in these things, there is no way to find relief. And Isis and the magicians of Egypt are unable to do anything to get rid of this plague. Now, this plague would have been a bigger deal in that time and age than it even would be today, in a certain sense. And that's because it goes back to the Egyptian culture that, as we've looked at before, the Egyptians were obsessed with being clean. And now, they are all covered in pus. They are all gross. They are all unclean. Unclean in a way that's far worse than the lice that they had before. It is so bad that the priests or magicians of Egypt were unable to do their duty, serving before Pharaoh or even standing in Moses' presence. They are unclean. The closest thing I can think of sort of having something of that experience is I remember going to Costco the first time after the COVID lockdowns began. And you probably remember walking into a shop after this happened, because everybody looked at each other scared. And they all looked at each other as if you were a threat. That there was something unclean about you. Keep your distance. You may give me the disease that will kill me. Right? But now imagine, okay, that everybody looked normal at that point, right? We were fearful of something we could not see. But now imagine seeing everyone covered in boils. Everyone would have looked hideous. Everyone from the elderly to the infants. This was a terrible plague that showed the spiritual condition of everyone who is outside of Christ. But God in this plague is telling the Israelites, but indeed the whole world, a very important gospel reality. As I said, apart from Christ you are dead and unclean, but in Christ you are alive and clean. As we saw with the last two plagues, this plague only comes upon the Egyptians, and the Lord in His redeeming love has presented His people before His face and before the entire world as alive and clean. They are alive and clean not because of anything they have done, which is an important fact in the matter, isn't it? To this point in the story, what have the Israelites done? What have the Israelites done? Well, they did complain at the beginning when their labor was intensified. They did believe the word of Moses before that, but obviously it was shown to be a quite weak faith, if it was a faith. But that's it. That's all they've done. They've done nothing to redeem themselves. Nothing to show themselves before the watching world that they are indeed clean. That they are alive. But who presents them before the watching world and before His glorious presence as alive and clean? The Lord. Not all of the Israelites believed in the Lord. We know that even after the Exodus. So not all of them were alive and clean spiritually. But the Lord is here giving a great display that His people, His chosen people, are alive and clean only because of His redeeming love. And this plague does tell us and show us that. But of course, what is in the old concealed is in the new revealed. And we know exactly what the price is for our cleansing and for our resurrection and eternal life. It is the death and resurrection of the Son of God. And because Christ died for us and was raised in power and newness of life, so we are as well. We are put to death in the death of Christ, and we are raised in the newness of His life because we are united to Him by faith in the divine person of the Holy Spirit. This is precisely Paul's point at many places in his epistles, but one would be in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. This is a faithful saying, for if we have died with Him, we shall also live with Him. We think about the stark difference there is between the Israelites and the Egyptians in this section, that it is just a picture of the massive difference there is between those who are in Christ and those who are not in Christ. And so as we come away from this passage, there are two things that we have to see as we think about our washing and the resurrection life that we have in Christ. And the first is the absolute necessity of the salvation that we have in Christ. That without Him, we have no hope. It isn't that our hope is greatly diminished, or that we can see the light, but it's just farther away and it's a little dimmer. No, without Christ, that hope is gone. There is none. That's what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands. Notice these words. That at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Related to that, then, is the second thing that we have to take away from this passage. The first, as I said, is the necessity of the sacrifice of Christ to save us. But second is the amazing blessing that we enjoy now and forever. Just as I read it from Ephesians 2, 11 and 12, now we get to verse 13. We have been brought near to God. We are with Him. And He with us. This is what he says, as Paul continues in verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We are with Him and He is with us. And we receive blessing and have the opportunity to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Why? Because we are washed and made alive in Christ. Imagine putting yourself in the sandals of the Israelites at that point in time. Your skin is perfectly clean. You're a picture of health. And you walk through an Egyptian town where everyone looks at you as you walk past and you see them all covered in boils. In disgusting, painful agony, and you walk past unscathed. Imagine the looks you would get. The looks of fear, hatred, jealousy, self-pity, but also questioning. Questioning, why are you clean? What is the hope that is within you? For the curse of death and ashes cannot touch you. This is the blessing that we live in the light of every day. And joy, thanksgiving, peace, and hope should so be seen in us that all would see the light of Christ shining in us and emanating from us. And we should not be surprised when the darkness hates the light. But we should also expect that God would use the light that is within us to draw others to Himself. And we know that this was happening during the time of the plagues, because we are told that a mixed multitude came up out of Egypt because many Egyptians had come to see Yahweh as their God, as Jesus, as the only way, truth, and life. They saw in this plague who they really were apart from Christ, and the Lord, by His gracious Holy Spirit, made them alive to believe in the Lord. And thus they went out as His washed and clean people. As we think upon the extreme difference there is set up in this plague between those who are in Christ and those who are not. May we be reminded of the necessity of the grace of God, and also of the life, literally life-changing and life-giving difference there is, because we are in Him. We are in Christ, and He in us. May these truths, glorious truths, bear much fruit in our lives to the glory of God. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this portion of Your Word in which You showcase for us what we really are left in our sins and in the bondage that we are under because of original sin and because of the tyranny of the devil. We thank You, Lord, for showing that we are unclean and that we are dead. And yet, Lord, we are thankful also in this plague that You show us the light of glorious hope that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. That we are set apart by You to receive life and to be in Your presence forever. We thank You, Lord, for this passage, which so clearly reminds us of the necessity of the grace of God, You, our God, given to us in Christ, and that You show us the immense blessings that are ours, that we who are in Christ never really die, for we are alive forevermore in Him. That death and ashes cannot touch us. For every curse and every stain of sin has been removed from us because of the once-for-all sacrifice of Christ. May we rest and trust in the salvation that is provided. And may we give You all the glory, now and forever. Amen.